Well, our reading was taken from the 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter. And the theme will center around verses 12, 13, and 14. Are two sentences that will be linked. The form of sound words in verse 13 and the deposit in verses 12 and 14. Now, when we open our Bibles from reflection, we must come to the conclusion that the scriptures are written to different people at different times with different objects. And if we would understand the law of Moses, then we should read Moses. If we would understand concerning the grace of God, we must read Paul. And so we must, as the scriptures enjoins us in 2 Timothy 2:15, and as was mentioned in the prayer, rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, the scriptures appear confusion and chaos. It has been truly said that if we learn the different dispensations, then all discrepancies will disappear. There is a form of sound words, but we cannot apply this to the essential and absolute being of God. That is not a legitimate inquiry, because if you read Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." And so, the being of God himself is not for us to inquire into, and it's nowhere stated in the Bible, not the essential essence of that being. Now, a little talk is taken from 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words." Why is this necessary? Well, would you kindly turn to the 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope of the hope that is in you, with meekness and reverence." This hope that is within us, and this reason embraces the gospel whereby salvation was brought to us, the calling, the sphere of blessing, which by grace we have entered, and the hope that pertains to that gospel and calling. Now, the reason for the hope entertained by the believer comprises doctrinal, dispensational, and practical truth. Doctrinal truth is that aspect of the scriptures given us by God concerning his work in redemption and his work in creation also, of course, what he has done, what he has promised, the different covenants that he gave to Israel, etc. and etc. It's a record and a revelation of his wonderful grace and mercy and love, not only to us as sinners, but as saints. Now, the dispensational aspect is this. It's a necessary means whereby when we open the scriptures and rightly divide them, we can discriminate and have a personal appropriation of those things in the scriptures that apply to us. What has been promised or enjoined pertains to the believer now. If you search the scriptures and rightly divide them, you can apply that portion to yourselves. But those portions that apply to people of a past dispensation, you can differentiate so that you can understand when you're reading the Law of Moses, Book of Leviticus, etc., that it applies to those people. But we must remember that the doctrines of sin, salvation, redemption, justification, are just the same, whatever the hope, whatever the dispensation, or whatever the calling. Those doctrinal truths run right through the scriptures and can never be altered. But the dispensations alter. Now, there were things that happened in the past that if we were to put them into practice would cause absolute chaos and confusion in our lives and in the lives of other people. And there are many things that are written in the Law of Moses that you and I and every believer could not possibly carry out. And so we must discriminate between that and what is written to us. Now, we believe here that at Acts 28:26, there came a crisis in the history of Israel, and that they rejected the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul, and that at that time they were divorced as a nation. We must not forget that individual Jew can come to God now, even as us Gentiles, on the one ground as a sinner needing salvation. But as a nation, Israel were put to one side at Acts 28. And we believe and preach and teach and rightly divide the word of God that when Paul said in Acts 28:28, that salvation is sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. That is one of our beliefs. We believe, as I said, that doctrinal truths are the same, whatever the dispensations. But we also believe that the miraculous gifts, in fact we know by the word of God, miraculous gifts ceased at Acts 28. And that those gifts of evidential miracles ceased. But all ceremonies and rites ceased. And there came into being a new dispensation. Now, dispensationally, the gospel was preached by Paul to the Jew first. Romans 1:17 tells you that the gospel of God, which the gospel of salvation, we better turn it up. We better not make any mistakes, because mistakes are not necessary when dealing with the word of God. Romans 1:17. Now I can quote it properly. For I am not, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. The previous verse is the one that I want you to center your attention on. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to the Greek or the Gentile. So here we have a statement that the gospel was to the Jew first. And you remember that the Apostle Paul, wherever he entered a city or a town, he went to the synagogue first. He preached to the Jew first. But as we progress through the Acts of the Apostle, we find that the Jew is gradually left behind until that final address in Acts 28, when Paul says in verse 26 that for the hope of Israel, he was bound with that chain. He was on his way to the prison and to death. So, beloved, we examine these things as a form of sound words. We think of Moses. Don't forget that Paul, when he wrote the second epistle of Timothy, it was written from that terrible prison in Rome. He was a prisoner, not for anything criminal that he had done, but a prisoner because of a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was glorifying his Savior. And so he was put in prison. He wrote 3 epistles previous, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And here is the last epistle he wrote before his death, which was imminent. And he says there, concerning this form of sound words, hold it fast, Timothy. Moses, as I read in Deuteronomy 31, he, before his death, gave Joshua a command, and he said, this law of God has to be written and read to the people every 7 years. And I believe it's true that every king of Israel, upon being enthroned, had to read this word of God daily. Daily. Would that we done it daily too. Perhaps it would help us more. But the thing is this, that many of us do so. The thing is this, that here was a dying injunction to Joshua, that the word was to be honored and read every 7 years to these people. David also was one who believed God's word to the hilt. And he wrote many psalms, etc., about the word of God. But in the 72nd psalm, nearing the end of his life, he said, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, is ended. And if you will kindly turn to John 17, we will read there the words of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ himself before his death. And in this wonderful chapter, you will find the name mentioned in verse 6, the word mentioned in verse 6, the words mentioned in verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And then in verse 11, you will see at the end of the verse, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. And in the next verse is a mention of this name, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Verse 14, I have given unto them thy word. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And at the end, the last verse, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Here is the name mentioned that was mentioned in the song of Moses that he was told to write in Deuteronomy 32, 8 times this name, Jehovah's name. And here it is mentioned by our Lord Jesus Christ before his death. The name and the word. That leads us to Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, called and appointed by God, by the risen Christ himself in glory, to teach and to preach a new creation in Christ Jesus, the church of the one body of which Christ is the head, a new dispensation ushered in. Now, Paul's conversion is held out as a pattern to all those who believe. His conversion, his commission, and his doctrine were the Lord's appointed pattern for all believers today. And it was given to Paul first to show us these things. And dealing with these realities, the apostle guards against formalism or just a lifeless copy by saying, hold fast the former sound words which thou hast heard of me in love, faith, and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And you will notice that in verse 12, if we take the structure of these few verses, you will find in verse 12, he is able to guard. And in verse 12 it says, the deposit. Verse 13, the form of sound words comes in the center. And in verse 14, do thou guard the good deposit. But you say to me, I can't see the words good deposit here in verses 12 to 14. Well, no, you can't. Not in our English Bibles. But in the Revised Version, you will find in a margin that it states there that the word committed, this thing that was committed, is the word parasiki. Parasiki is translated from the Greek, my deposit. And so each side of the form of some words is the words my deposit and the good deposit. This was what was committed to Paul. And what is this deposit? It is, as I mentioned, the wonderful revelation given to Paul the Apostle, written about in Ephesians chapter 3, the dispensation or the fellowship of the mystery, which was hidden in God. Would you turn to Ephesians 3? And there in verse 9, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, that is the word dispensation, of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now kindly turn to Colossians chapter 1 and read something further concerning this revelation given to this apostle of the Gentiles. Colossians chapter 1, 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or complete the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Here is something stated in God's word that had been hidden from ages and from generations, and it had been revealed to this apostle, this secret, this mystery. That is the good deposit that Paul mentions in the second of Timothy, verses 12 to 14. This is it, the revelation of the secret that have been hid in God from past ages and generations. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. This is the deposit, guard, the same word, parathiki. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. This was unsound doctrine. If anything comes in to disrupt the church, it comes from within. Paul knew that. He had experienced it time and again. Doesn't come from the outside world, they're not interested. But Satan uses those inside to turn it inside out, as the saying is. And so Paul says, look, Timothy, this is the thing that I'm committing your charge. I haven't any earthly goods to leave. I had to send for my cloak when I'm in prison to keep me warm and the parchments. I have nothing of this world to give you, but I have something here that is very precious. This deposit, this truth, this form of sound words, this good deposit. And I want to give it to you to keep. It's a gem. Look after it. It's one of God's precious jewels. This truth of the mystery of the secret of the church and of one body of which Christ is the head. It's a heavenly jewel embedded here in these words, given by God himself, scintillating with all the glory of God. Keep, O God, that deposit. When you and I are weak, the thought of this calling, this fear, this hope of being manifested with him will strengthen you. When you are fainting by the wayside, this thinking on this wonderful jewel, with all its surrounding jewels glittering and sparkling, that we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the blood of his cross, we have no more conscience of sin as the hymn says, and here we have marvellous truths revealed to us that we don't belong to a past dispensation or a future dispensation. We belong to the dispensation that is now, the dispensation of the secret or the mystery revealed through this wonderful man. He says, Timothy, guard it. And he says in 2 Timothy, the second verse, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, mark you, the same commit, that's the same word, parathiki, the deposit. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's it. They should be able to teach others also. And they can only be able to teach others concerning this wonderful deposit if they learn this rightly dividing the scriptures, the word of truth, and not taking things that belong to a past dispensation and bringing them into this dispensation of the church of the one body. If you take things belonging to Matthew and try and fit them in Ephesians, you'll only cause confusion. Because Matthew, as you know, is the kingdom of teaching, the kingdom of heaven on earth teaching. If you try and fit Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Galatians, and the epistles written before Acts 28, before Israel was dismissed, Thessalonians 1 and 2, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we try and fit them into this teaching of this secret, they won't go. The doctrine's all right, yes, as I said, that is constant throughout. But if you try and say that the Jew is first today, it will be unscriptural, because the Jew has passed off as seen as a nation. And God has said to them, I am not your God, and you are not my people. As he said in Deuteronomy 31 that we read, you have forsaken me, then I will forsake you. It's there. And God is as good as his word. God's word is truth. We must remember that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Theopneustis is God breathed. And if you obey the instructions to rightly divide it, put it in its rightful place as you read it, then you will receive the blessing that God intends you to receive. But if you are living in the past dispensation, running after those things, that I do not wish to be unkind, but sometimes these things that are being run after belonging to 1 Corinthians 12 say the gifts are very misleading. Very helpful to fleshly feelings sometimes, yes, but not for building up the spiritual life. If you wish God's word to have that blessing and effect in your lives that it should do, then read the four prison epistles with the book of Romans as a foundation, because that is the foundation. Justification by faith. We have peace with God because of that. You and I have been justified from all sin because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And now God will bring no charge against you because that man there died for you and for me. Your sins are forgiven you. What for your sake? Because you have worked it out? Oh no. But because he has paid the price with his precious blood. And Peter says that we are bought not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. If you realize this, that he is the one mediator, as our brother said, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He loved you and me and gave himself for us. And with all this, he has given us something further. God has given us and Christ has given us from the glory this wonderful revelation through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. The same as Peter was the Apostle of the Jews. This is our Apostle. And he has told us these wonderful things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us take them to heart. Let us think about them. Have a form of sound words concerning the Scriptures. Divide them up into their rightful parts. You know, some of us have been in the post office, and it's amazing to see what they call the sorting racks. And all the letters come in their thousands. And then they are sorted out by the postman and the sorters into their different boxes or divisions. And woe betide those if someone puts letters belonging to one district or country or county into the wrong division, and they get the other end and they're all mixed up. Oh no, they've got to be rightly divided into their different places, so that when the man comes round responsible for certain streets and certain districts, he collects them up, and then he divides them up into their streets and into their numbers. If he doesn't, he wouldn't be able to deliver his bundle of letters. It would take him weeks to sort them all out. They must be put in their order. It's the same thing with these scriptures. And God has told us to rightly divide the word of truth. Have a form of sound words. God, this wonderful deposit that he has given us, that he mentions in verse 12 of the second epistle of Timothy. He says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, this deposit. Something was given to Paul, and he commits it now to Timothy, verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, guard. We've got to guard it, because as I said, dissension may come from within. We have got to guard it and keep it, this wonderful secret, that we belong to a company who are seated, will be seated, far above all, in Christ Jesus and with Christ Jesus. That we have blessings that have been bestowed upon no other people right throughout the ages. That we were chosen in Christ before the overthrow of the world. That God's wondrous grace has not only forgiven us, but given us the highest place in glory. Does it amaze you? Does it make the mind reel to think of it? That we, Gentile sinners, have been taken from the pit, forgiven all our sins for Christ's sake, and raised and seated in the highest place in the universe. We ought to go away rejoicing in this wonderful truth and thank God that in this place and in places in America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, France, Belgium and on the continent, there are faithful ones who are guarding and keeping this good deposit, who are preaching and teaching this wonderful truth of the church of the one body of which Christ is a head. I did not mention that the word dispensation is the Greek word oikonomia, and it means in our English economy. And so you have the economy of Moses, the law of Moses, you have the economy of Paul. I just mentioned that, by the way, in case anyone is mystified by the repetition of the word dispensation. And there are different dispensations. The dispensation we are living in now is the dispensation of the Church of the One Body, and also the dispensation of those who believe according to John's Gospel. So there's two dispensations running together. That is quite feasible and quite true. Now, this dispensation, this glory is made manifest now to his saints. This riches. 1 Colossians 24 to 29. 1 Colossians 24 to 29. I read part of this, but we now read verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery or secret among the Gentiles, which is Christ amongst you, the hope of glory, which we preach. Yes, the hope of glory. Here you will not find a church seated with Christ in the flesh on a mountain and following the precepts of the kingdom of heaven on earth, participants in that kingdom, oh no, or endeavouring to join the company of a past dispensation in the second of Acts, and striving for gifts, as I said, according to the 1 Corinthians 12, or striving, speaking in tongues. Do not, as a believer, live in the past. You know, some of us older ones are often accused of living in the past. And there are many believers today who are truly living in the past, in these dispensations, the dispensation especially of Acts 2. We do not belong to the church that was formed there. Read Acts 2 carefully and you know that it was all Jews present. Millions of them come up for the feast of Pentecost, Jerusalem. And Peter preached to the men and brethren. We were never called men and brethren by a Jewish disciple. No, we were Gentiles afar off. As Ephesians tells us, without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now then, this is a good deposit that Paul is speaking about to Timothy. He says, guard it. And we are exhorted to guard and to keep this wonderful truth that has been passed on to us. And so we ask you to read these epistles of Paul written after Acts 28. God will open your understanding to see that you may belong to a people composing a church seated with him not on earth, not in the New Jerusalem, but in heavenly places far above all. And as Colossians 1 to 4 tells us that your life, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This is your place as well, beloved. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, or ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, or be manifested, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What a wonderful hope. What a jewel this is. What a good deposit that God has passed on to us by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. We do not exalt the man Paul. He was the earthen vessel containing this wonderful treasure. But it was a risen Christ who commissioned him and gave him this wonderful secret. And we ask you to enter in to these wonderful truths, to read them and learn them from yourself, so that you too can walk through this wilderness journey, knowing that eventually, according to the word of God, which is truth, and can never be altered, Not one jot or one tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled. And God has said that you belong to the church of the one body of which Christ is the head, and that you will be manifested in glory with him when he is manifested. You know, the world uses a derisive note when they say, what a hope sometimes, the things that you tell them. But we can use that term in a totally different manner and say, what a glorious hope is ours. Gentile sinners, away far off from God, with nothing to commend us to him, separated by a barrier of sin, and that sin barrier swept away by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then added to this is this wonderful revelation that we are going to be with him seated there, far above all. Let us go away rejoicing in these wonderful truths, thanking God for this wonderful deposit that was given to Paul, thanking him for all the earthen vessels from Paul onwards who have been faithful in guarding this deposit. Lonely ones sometimes who have stood for this truth, who have been thrown out of assemblies and of other churches because they have held this wonderful truth. We ask you, keep it as a precious jewel. Let nothing disturb you. Faithful men now are preaching and teaching the right division of truth. And thank the Lord, there are young people coming along who are guarding and keeping this deposit. Let not Satan come in and put you off that pathway that you are treading. Be faithful to the written word of God. Be faithful to the dispensation that has been revealed to you as a member of this wonderful church. And accept this as a little contribution to this keeping and guarding, by a form of sound words, the deposit, the good deposit that has been handed on to us by these faithful teachers of the Word of God. Amen.